6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, a Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. The day after the LA Kings complete a sweep of the Golden Knights with a 4-1 victory at T-Mobile Arena last night. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman behind the board. And what we hope to do today is pick up the sky, Frank, which has fallen to the ground.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing pretty good today. I think we're all doing okay, but it's just... Sorry that the season's over and everything's done, and you know, it was a nice run, and yeah, we're only still 10 points ahead in the Pacific, so apparently everything is done.
Yeah, Ryan Reeves is like the worst thing that's ever happened in the whole world, right?
It's
like,
Hanson brothers.
It's all
putting
him
on
too.
The foil. Like, putting on the foil.
It's all yeah. Ryan Reeves. Like, Ryan Reeves walked out there and said, hey, Luca Spezza and Derek Englund just get completely embarrassed by Anze Kopitar on a play, and Max Lagasse don't come up with big saves, and Ryan Carpenter just pass the puck to Kyle Clifford and lose all the momentum in the game. That was all Ryan Reeves. So clearly, he is definitely the problem.
And we are going to have a lot of Ryan Reeves talk. People have been weighing in on Twitter. They've been weighing in on the text line, on the phone lines last night. And we are going to open the phone lines later to talk all things Ryan Reeves. We're also going to have some tickets to the Ottawa Senator game on Friday. But we will start real quick with some news around the National Hockey League. If you start in Vancouver, the Canucks have signed defenseman Alex Biega to a two-year contract extension worth an average annual value of $825,000. Also in San Jose, goaltender Aaron Dell gets a two-year deal with the Sharks. He's got a 2.39 goals against average, a .920 save percentage in his 45 games with the Sharks. We also will go down to Tampa, guys, where a little scare for them as Nikita Kucherov was removed from their game on Monday. In the first period, he did not return. He did not practice today, went out for a light skate, was sitting and working with all of the other scratches. He is a probable but more likely doubtful tonight. They will, however, though, Frank, get Tyler Johnson back.
Yeah, and so Johnson back in, and Kucherov, I have a feeling that he might be a scratch tonight, that he could probably go if they really needed it, but quite frankly, I think they're looking at the matchup against Buffalo and thinking, you know what, let's have discretion be the better part of valor and maybe sit him out this game, but maybe, who knows, maybe Cooper will say, we'll put you in there anyhow, get you a couple shifts out there. I want to throw this in real quick, too, about the Aaron Dell contract, because it's kind of interesting. $3.8 million, $2.2 next year, and $1.6 the year after that, so it is split up a little bit the way that they signed it.
A little front-loaded for him. On the injury front, in Columbus, Josh Anderson will be out 4 weeks for the Blue Jackets because of a sprained knee, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, the injuries keep on coming. Zach Aston-Reese going to be out with an upper body injury. Head coach Mike Sullivan said today it will be long-term more so than day-to-day, and they also got word on Matt Murray, who was hit in the head with a puck by Olli Mäntä, and they said that he has been diagnosed with a concussion.
Yeah, where have we heard that story before? A goalie diagnosed with a concussion. We missed Marc-Andre Fleury for 30-some-odd games. So hopefully for the Pittsburgh Penguins, it's not that serious with Matt Murray, but it's a head injury. It's always going to be serious. They're not going to rush him back. If he can get back into a couple of games before the playoffs start, that would be best-case scenario for Pittsburgh.
You know, ironically enough, you mentioned that we missed Marc-Andre Fleury for 26 games. If Matt Murray stays out for any length of time, the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to miss Marc-Andre Fleury even more.
Yeah, absolutely. They've missed him all year.
They certainly have. So we'll see what happens with Pittsburgh. It seemed like they had just started to turn the corner. But we're going to turn the corner now and focus on the Vegas Golden Knights. They lose last night 4-1 to the LA Kings. But things got started off in pretty fine fashion at this 5:27 mark when William Karlsson does what William Karlsson does. He scores goals. He is our play of the game. Best mattress sponsors that. So our play of the game is William Karlsson, best mattress, best service, best selection, best price, guaranteed. William Karlsson.
In the corner, it's sent back to Marchessault. Dowdy's out of the box, centering pass. It's in. Karlsson back door. Smith jamming away. Vegas scores right after the power play expires, and it's 1-0.
And for all the talk that came from the Golden Knights about why they haven't had success over the past couple of games, it's about getting to the front of the net and getting to the blue paint. When you look at the goal that they had tonight, it was because William Karlsson got to the front of the net. He was in the blue paint. He was able to capitalize on a pretty goal.
Yeah, and they were able to do that because it was right at the end of a power play. They didn't convert on the power play. It wasn't even strength goal. But there was really good puck movement on that power play. It opened up a lot of seams. And Jonathan Marchessault really made that play happen. He drew coverage to him. He laid the perfect pass in there. There was a scramble play, and William Karlsson got a stick on it. And like you said, you're in the blue paint. Good things are going to happen. A lot of goals are scored there. That's where you have to go, especially this time of year and moving forward in the playoffs if you're going to score goals. And Gerard Gallant, first thing he said in the press conference, we didn't get there. We just simply didn't get there enough. 41 shots from the perimeter is not the same as 25 shots from close in, inside the blue paint, inside the hash marks. It's just not.
And we talked about that a lot in the postgame show last night, and that seems to be a theme for this team. It seemed to be a theme in the Anaheim game when they got shut out. It seems to be a theme. When they don't win games, it seems to be because they don't get greasy and dirty enough in front of the crease there. And I think one of the most important things you said there was the power play did do things on that power play that they didn't necessarily do when they're not clicking as much. And although technically it goes down as an even strength goal, the power play is what set everything up to allow that goal to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like the Golden Knights didn't try to get to the blue paint the rest of the game. There was a play with Tatar and Hika where Tatar drew coverage. He went wide and he threw the puck in toward the crease and Hika was there. Hika went to the net. It just didn't pan out because the Kings defense is a seasoned veteran group and they were able to be hard on their sticks. They were harder on their sticks than Vegas was.
And their veterans played really well for the Kings, one of them being Anze Kopitar. He is our player of the game. He had 2 goals and 3 assists in the back-to-back contests. Player of the game is brought to you by Brinkus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, Anze Kopitar.
Knights down this one at center, though. And here comes Kopitar right back in to the outside. Kopitar deking through the middle. He scores! What a finish from Anze Kopitar! His 27th goal of the year, and with 30 seconds left in the period, the Kings have a 2-goal lead.
And Kopitar knifed his way through the defense all the way from the red line. That's a play we see the puck get lost on the stick many a time, but not for Kopitar. What a beautiful goal.
I mean, this is something this guy's been doing for a long time now, and he shouldn't be as underrated as he is with 2 Stanley Cups, a $10 million contract. I know it's hard to believe that this guy can be underrated in the NHL, but you never hear about him. You never do, at least not nationally. Kopitar is a fantastic hockey player, and it's not just the goals. It's not just the assists. It's his commitment to a 200-foot game. It is as good on the defensive end as it is on the offensive end. And granted, he skated around Lucas Pisa and Derek Englund and finished that play on Max Lagasse, but it could have been Shea Theodore, it could have been Colin Miller, and it could have been Marc-Andre Fleury. He's that good.
And Kopitar is playing the way that everybody that he has most of his career. Last year he had a bit of a down year. This year he's back to the player that the Kings were used to playing. And as bad as the Toffoli goal was, I thought that goal by Kopitar was the backbreaker and basically sealed the deal, because all of a sudden you have that 2-goal differential against a team that is arguably the best team in the NHL in the third period with a plus 33. Mm-hmm. At that point, the hill that you have to climb becomes a mountain. And that just wasn't going to happen with Campbell, who didn't have a lot of experience, but he played well last night. And it's interesting, too, we're going to hear from the Kings coach. And although he didn't have much NHL experience, he actually did have experience at the T-Mobile Arena. He played the preseason game down here for them.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked Jack Campbell that last night. I said, you know, what was the atmosphere like? And he said, I got a little bit of a tune-up in preseason, but it was nothing like this. It was phenomenal experience. And, you know, he had a smile on his face that was just absolutely infectious. And you can't help but feel good, especially when you consider the fact that Jack Campbell and Max Lagasse both played on the same team for the Texas Stars, and you know that they had a friendly rivalry going into this game, and he even talked about that too. So one guy showed up, Jack Campbell showed up. Max Lagasse, he was good early, but as soon as that Kyle Clifford goal went in, that to me was the backbreaker. That was the turning point in the game because Vegas just did not seem right after that.
And when you think about things that can jumpstart your season, stealing the 2 points in LA, coming back feeling maybe like they stole points with Jack Campbell last night, John Stevens has to be happy with his two-game sweep, and that was the crux of his interview after the game.
Well, it's a big two-game set for us. I mean, we're trying to get our foot back in the playoff door, and we knew these were going to be big games against a really tough opponent, so to come in and get back-to-back 4 points was, I think, really good for us, and I thought it was a great couple games of commitment from our hockey team. I thought our leadership was outstanding. I thought they were our best players in both games, and I thought we got contributions from everybody. So, you know, we talked to the team before the game. We want to get in the playoffs, but we want our team game to continue to get better. It's about playing better this time of year and getting better every night. And it was good to see we did that.
What did you like about what you guys were doing in your own zone tonight?
I'll be honest with you. I thought we got in a stretch in the second period where we tried to make too many flat plays, and they had a really fast transition game. I thought the third period did a much better job of getting over top of them, but in our own zone, you know, they create. They're going to spend time in the zone. They're really good at trying to spin out of coverage, and I thought we did a good job of keeping them to the outside. I thought we did a good job of pursuing and identifying coverage, and we did a good job of getting in the shot lane. So, you know, they're a good offensive team for a reason. They score 3.5 goals a game, and you can see why when you play against them.
Do you find yourself appreciating what Jack Campbell's done in the story to get to this point, or is it just you're in the heat of a playoff race right now and that type of stuff you don't think?
No, I think we always do. I mean, there's lots of guys. I thought Kyle Clifford had an outstanding two-game series here. I thought he really tilted the ice for us in a lot of ways. And you see a kid like Jack Campbell. I remember the day when he came here and Billy met with him, and his game was not in very good shape. He had been in the East Coast League, and all he wanted to do was work and get better. And a terrific year in the minors, and really kind of come a leader down there. And coming into this game is a tough spot. It's as tough a spot as there is probably to come in as your first game, but we told him he's 1-0 in this building because he was the guy that played here and we won the preseason game. So a little different scenario here, but it's a tough building to play in, and I thought Jack was really solid tonight, and I couldn't be happier for the kid.
That was head coach John Stevens of the LA Kings, pleased with the effort by his team, and this is a real building block, Frank, for what they hope to do over the last 20 games or so of the season.
Yeah, and you know, as well as Jack Campbell played last night, it's interesting because normally you don't think of a first-round draft pick getting his first victory and goal 8 years into his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually think when you think about him being a 2010 pick that he's already achieved the mantle of bust and you may not get an opportunity like he had last night, but we'll keep an eye on what he does moving forward. Well, William Karlsson got the Golden Knights on the board early, hoping to cash in on the success that they've had when they scored first, but it was not to be last night. But he had an awful lot of thoughts on a lot of things last night. Chris Chapman, Jesse Granger caught up with him.
William, what seemed to change after you scored that goal? Because it seemed like after that they just gained a ton of momentum.
Yeah, they kind of took over a little. They got a lucky bounce there in the first and tied it up. And I think both of their first two goals, it's just bad bounces for us. Yeah, they were more aggressive and played the puck much better in the first than we did.
This has been a team that's outskilled teams, and I think in the third period you guys were kind of getting into a just trying to outcheck them. Do you think you guys kind of played a little out of character at the end of the game?
Yeah, we tried to change it up, try to get the pucks deep. I mean, they had a lot of guys in the neutral zone, making it tough to enter the zone with the puck. So, yeah, and there's a tough team, so and we didn't manage to get the second one.
I think you guys maybe kind of took too many penalties in the third and just kind of maybe got a little too emotional in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal to take penalties when were chasing that goal, but it happens. And even if I don't agree with the call, it's still hockey, and that's it is what it is.
How far do you think tonight goes towards building that rivalry with Los Angeles?
No, but like we said here earlier, there were some emotions there on the ice. And I mean, it's fun. It's fun when it's emotion and there's a battle there out on the ice. So maybe in the future there's more rivalry.
They're making big hits, and then they're then retaliating, making big hits. Did it feel different out there with him out there? Kind of obviously his game is a little different than anybody else on this team.
Yeah, it's good to have someone with a physical presence. Like I said, I don't agree with the call he got there in the first on the hit, but it's good to see him stir things up, and especially when it becomes a rivalry game like this, it's good to have.
Do you like that kind of game, though? I mean, you're a skilled guy that probably prefers to beat the team kind of with your skills. Do you like it to get into a game like that?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, it's going to be tougher as the season moves on, so I just better get used to it, and I don't mind a lot of emotion. Speaking from my line, I think we're just gonna try to keep going like we have. We don't hit that much, I'd say, just because a guy like Reeves comes in doesn't mean we're gonna change. He's gonna do his thing, and we're gonna do our thing, and it's a good mix to have in a team.
Two really uncharacteristic losses for you guys last night and tonight. How easy is it, or how hard is it, to put it behind you and look forward to Ottawa on Friday?
I'm pretty used to it, so it's a new game in a couple of days, so I'm just going to get ready for that.
That was William Karlsson, and he, like everyone else in the city, weighing in on his opinions of Ryan Reeves and confirming that William Karlsson's not a soft player, and he likes it when it gets a little chippy, and he's glad to have a guy like Ryan Reeves on his side. We're going to jump into that in the next segment. We're going to open up the phones. We're going to take your calls. We want to hear what you guys have to say about Ryan Reeves. We're also going to hear from Ryan Reeves. We're going to hear from Don Cherry. But first off, let's give away some tickets. Let's get you out there to T-Mobile, get you to see those Golden Knights against the Ottawa Senators. We've got 19 games in the season left. We're going to take caller number 19. You're going to have tickets for Friday night against the Senators. 876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. When we come back, Ryan Reeves, Don Cherry, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Frank Harnish, everybody weighing in on Ryan Reeves. Your calls to Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back to Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board, and Ryan Reeves has been the center of the universe for the Golden Knights over the past 2 days, dominating the Twitter sphere, the number one trending name on my Twitter list over the past couple of days. And Ryan, everyone seems to have a pretty strong opinion one way or the other about the big fella.
Yeah, they do, and it's two games. It's 15 minutes of game time for Ryan Reeves, and it's a couple of bad penalties, and I say the words bad penalties, and you might think that I'm going to sit here and say that Ryan Reeves was at fault for most of them, and the only one that I have a major issue with is the hooking penalty in the game in Los Angeles, because you can't do that if you're Ryan Reeves. You also can't be on the ice with Andre Kopitar if you're Ryan Reeves and expect it not to go the way that it did. So there's that, but more to the point, What's a clean hockey hit these days? Because to be honest with you, like, Derek Forbort was checked into the boards by Ryan Reeves. Last I checked, you were allowed to hit an opponent into the boards, and you shouldn't be penalized because you're bigger, stronger, and faster than that opponent.
I think that is a penalty, though. I think being bigger,
well,
and stronger,
when you're
and
Ryan
faster
Reeves,
is a
it's a penalty. Yeah, if you're Ryan Reeves and you're bigger, stronger, faster, and you go in and you create a hit that separates the defenseman from the puck, you're going to get a penalty. Like, that's what we've come to realize now, is that's what's going to happen.
Well, Ryan Reeves, after the game last night, addressed that very subject on what is a penalty, what is not, and on getting to play the LA Kings in back-to-back games.
When I hit him trying to draw one, it's embarrassing. This is the NHL. This isn't ping pong.
And obviously, you don't want to take penalties in the third period.
No, obviously not, but I'm not going to stop playing hard. It's, you know, first one, it's a clean hit. It's just a big hit. You know, you can't make a call on on a reaction on a bench or a big noise. That's not how this league works. And I thought those were panic calls. You know, Doughty throws his head back like he got shot. It's his shoulder pad that hits his chin. It's two bad calls in critical time of the game.
Ryan, just talk about this one, obviously in front of the home fans, a lot of energy, but obviously just not the result. What did you see went wrong?
Well, I mean, we had a slow start in the first. We came out good in the second. They had a couple bounces. We come out strong in the third, and then, like I said before, two bad calls that cost us the game, cost us momentum.
Team you'd like to see in the playoffs?
I'd love to see this team in the playoffs. I'd like to play this team for the rest of the season if I could. I'm sure they're not going to get those calls in the playoffs, that's for sure.
Ryan, I practiced two games under your belt now here. Is it starting to get acclimated? Do you feel a little chemistry building with your line and the other guys?
Yeah. It didn't seem to take too long. I thought, in the third especially, I thought we were playing really well. End of the second, too. That's our game. I'm not the most offensively skilled guy, but I'm going to provide the energy and make some room for those guys, and that's what I was trying to do.
You play here as a visitor at T-Mobile. People talk about the atmosphere. Just being a home guy here, first time at T-Mobile, what was that like?
Well, it was just like when I played here with the Penguins. It was, the crowd was buzzing. They're into it the whole game. It's like a party in the stands, and it's fun. You draw off the energy of the crowd the whole game, so I'm excited to be here for the rest of the year for sure.
That was the voice of Ryan Reeves post-game. And Frank, is Ryan Reeves correct? Is this ping pong?
I believe it is not ping pong. I think it's a little bit more of a contact sport out there. And when Ryan Reeves plays it, it's a lot more of a contact sport. It kind of amazes me, too, because we talked about it last night in the post-game show, and I know Twitter's blowing up and social media is going all over the place, and there's phone calls coming into different places, and we're going to be taking calls here in a minute or two as well. But it's interesting because at T-Mobile Arena, and we just discussed this on the press box with Clay Baker, our good friend over there, when Braden McNabb blasts somebody into the boards, the T-Mobile Arena lights up and goes crazy because they love the big hit. Now Ryan Reeves does it with even more authority and more power than McNabb does, and all of a sudden everybody's thinking that he's the worst guy in the world, and they're comparing him to the Hanson brothers for crying out loud, and making it sound like, oh, what do we got this guy here? What did we become goon hockey? It's not goon hockey. Have you seen an NHL playoff series? If we don't have some kind of physicality and we're in seven-game series against the Kings or the Ducks or the Sharks or whoever, it's not going to be pretty. You need somebody out there that can throw their weight around and, oh, by the way, stands up for his teammates like he did for Oscar Lindberg when he went down, and Reeves basically went over to the L.A. bench and said, every one of you guys right now, any one of you or all of you, you're not doing that to my teammate.
Yeah, and to your point, though, is Ryan Reeves really hitting anybody more viciously than Braden McNabb when Braden McNabb lined somebody up for an open ice hit? I'd argue no. I'd argue
no.
When you're talking about full speed one way, full speed the other way, and you've got two objects in motion, I would say that's a more vicious hit. And to be honest with you, Braden McNabb hits clean. We all see it. We've all recognized it. But it doesn't mean he's not trying to hurt the other player. I'm not saying he's trying to hurt him. I'm not saying he wants to lay him out and get him out of the game. What I'm saying is when you hit somebody, you want it to hurt. Because what's the why are you going to put yourself at risk if it's not going to inflict more damage on the opposition? So if you hit somebody in hockey and you're not trying to hurt them a little bit, you're doing it wrong. You're not supposed to just bump into a guy. You're supposed to check through them. That's what Ryan Reeves did. But because he's Ryan Reeves, he got called for two ridiculous penalties.
A lot of people out there saying this was a terrible trade, and we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Let us know your thoughts on this trade. There is somebody very well respected in the hockey world that thinks it's a bad trade, and that is the first father of hockey in Canada, Don Cherry's thoughts on this being a bad trade, but a bad trade for who?
Everybody's talking about Broussard, but wait a minute. Remember, this year, Crosby has not missed a game through injuries. He's lost 100. So far in his career, he's lost 185. Do you remember last year what Mathot did to him? Watch what he did to him. I guarantee you if Reeves had been there, this would have never ever, ever happen. And Rutherford makes him go, and he's gone like this. This is what happened. I guarantee you, he went to Vegas, Reeves. He made a big mistake, and he gave up a first-round draft for him. Big mistake, Jimmy. You're going to be sorry because he protected Crosby.
And that was Don Cherry saying Sidney Crosby is playing a lot because of a guy like Ryan Reeves had his back. So he says bad trade, but bad trade for Pittsburgh.
That's tough because maybe Sidney Crosby's just not getting hit like he used to. There's a number of different factors that can go into that. Do I think having a player like Ryan Reeves out on the ice, do I think that it causes other teams to maybe not take liberties? Yeah, I do. But I also don't think that Ryan Reeves on the ice prevents anything that just is a fluky or happens. And a lot of the Crosby injuries happen because of fluky plays. Nothing super, super dangerous, except for the Mathot thing. That was a little rough. But anyway, I don't know. Don Cherry's so out of it sometimes. I don't know if I want to be on the right or the wrong side of what he says. But he's given a little bit of love to Ryan Reeves. I'll take it.
We're going to go out to the phone lines. Mike, you are live with Clayton, Frank, and Ryan. What is on your mind when it comes to Ryan Reeves?
Yeah, I've been to 9 home games. I'm a season ticket holder with the 11 game package, and you know every game's been great. Now the Ryan Reeves situation, though, I mean, give the guy a chance. You know, I mean, sure, he's coming into the city. He's trying to let Vegas people know, which a lot of people like myself are new to the NHL, and he's trying to let people that maybe don't know his name and know what he's about. This is what I do, and you know, maybe he went overboard, maybe, but, I mean, that's his job. We got him for a reason. I mean, Gallant and McPhee, they decided to get this guy, and we don't even know. Like, maybe they instructed him to go out there and do his thing, just have at it. We don't know, but as far as blaming these last 2 games on him and stuff, which I've kind of been reading, I think that's unwarranted. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you, and more so because when you look at what the playoffs are going to bring, the check that Ryan Reeves threw on Derek Forbort behind the Kings net that was called a boarding penalty in the playoffs, every hit will be like that. Every single hit between both teams will be that much heightened. It will be that much more intensity. And that's just normal playoff hockey. And you talk about teams all year that are doing well in the regular season that get to a point where you start to say, okay, do they have another gear? And a lot of people don't really understand that because you look at the NHL in the regular season and you say, man, how could it get more intense than that? Well, the first round of the playoffs, every single team, every single player, they find another level. The teams that are going through the regular season, they're not playing their best hockey. They save that for the playoffs. And you looked at the team last night in the Los Angeles Kings, not the same team that the Golden Knights played at the beginning of the year. They got healthy, but they took it to another level. Why? Because they're desperate. And the Vegas Golden Knights need to match that type of desperation every single time they play. It's the first time in the year that they've had to face some adversity. And it's not because of Ryan Reeves. It's just not.
And isn't that something that maybe is good for this team that hasn't had a lot of adversity to sort of deal with that in March and not have to deal with it in the second week of April?
Yeah, and again, if you want to chime in, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Ryan Reeves or Tatar, if you want to talk about him, because the social media was blown up on that as well. But yeah, the adversity that they faced earlier in the season was goaltending adversity. They came through that okay. But yeah, now it's a different type of player. It's a trade deadline thing. And absolutely. And it's a more physical game in the playoffs. And maybe that's one of the reasons why in the NHL playoffs, that an 8 seed can win, or a 16 seed, if you go 1 through the 16, can win and make it all the way to a Stanley Cup final or even win it. Because a lot of these teams are playing playoff hockey before the playoffs start to even get in. The LA Kings, with that win last night, jumped up to 3rd place in the Pacific. They're only 2 behind San Jose now for 2nd. So this is a team that is fighting for a playoff spot, but could conceivably also still get home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs here. And they're playing with that intensity right now. The one thing when we've talked to some of the national media that we've had on this show is, what's going to happen when the playoffs come? Because Vegas has had so many emotional games already this season. Do they have a playoff level to move up to, or have they already moved up to that level with some of these games that they've played during the regular season? And the answer is, we don't know.
No, we don't. But it's good that we're trying to find that out now, like Clayton was talking about. If you find that out in March and you can figure out a way to ratchet your game up in April, that's a good thing. However, the problem that I think is kind of under the radar right now with this team, outside of the injuries, because they're pretty banged up when you look at it up and down the roster. You're missing Belmar. He's a huge, huge piece to what goes right with this team. You're missing James Neal. You're missing Oscar Lindberg. You're missing William Carrier. I mean, those are names that you want in your lineup more often than not. So let's just take the injuries out of it. This is a team that plays a very, very difficult style of hockey. Not difficult on really the other team, but difficult on them because they're so fast. They execute at such a high speed, and they're always relentlessly forechecking that when you've done that for 62, 63 games all season, there's going to be some wear and tear. They're going to get tired. And they look like they ran out of gas in Los Angeles, and they just didn't look as fast and as crisp as they could have or should have been here at T-Mobile last night. Is this team getting tired? If they are, it's a bad sign going into the playoffs because the schedule's not going to get any easier. Now, granted, they probably won't be playing back-to-backs, but they will be playing every other night. Is that enough recovery time to allow them to go out there and play with maximum intensity every single game? Because that's how they make teams like Los Angeles and Anaheim and San Jose look like AHL teams. They skate circles around them, but if they don't have that energy to do so, it doesn't matter who's in the lineup. It doesn't matter if it's Ryan Reeves. It doesn't matter if it's Sidney Crosby. If they can't execute their game plan and skate and wear teams down that way, then they're going to get caught, they're going to get worn down, they're going to get leaned on, and they're going to get tired.
And it does seem that that's kind of a theme sometimes when they do lose the games. We talked about it earlier, how they don't necessarily get in front of the goalie or get the greasy goals and the things like that a little bit. And we have seen teams that when they've beat them, they've taken them off of the Vegas Golden Knights winning style of hockey. We saw Philadelphia do it. We saw Anaheim do it. We've just saw the Kings do it here. So there is a formula out there now to how to beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Now it's Gerard Gallant, the coaching staff, and maybe some of the new additions like a Ryan Reeves and that. Now they have to make adjustments. With all the video out there and an 82-game season and everything that people see on you, at the start of the season, it was an unknown factor. Nobody knew what this team was. This team didn't know what it was. Now everybody does know what it is. Teams have played Vegas. They've seen the film of Vegas. They've been to T-Mobile. They faced him on the road. Now it's adjustment time, and it's time to make different things. Other teams have made adjustments. Now what is Vegas going to do to make the adjustment back to prove that they are not only one of, if not the best team in the Pacific, but one of the, if not the best team in the West and the entire NHL? Nashville tied them up last night for the West. Both have 87 points. Tampa Bay is still number one in the league, but there's a lot of good teams out there, and there's a lot of trade deadline acquisitions that came to different teams. A lot of teams improve themselves. I guess the question is, did Vegas improve themselves? And if so, did they improve themselves enough?
And I'll answer your question pretty simply. And we talked to Jesse Cohn with All the Kings Men podcast yesterday on the show, and he said something to the effect of, when you look at it move for move with all the big teams, all the teams in first place, Vegas is probably set up the best because if they don't like what they've acquired, they don't have to play those players, and they can still play their roster. The roster that got them to 87 points in 62 games is still there, ready to be deployed. Whenever Gerard Gallant wants to, whenever Belmar is healthy, whenever Carrier is healthy, you can start a fourth line of Belmar, Nosek, and Carrier. That was the best fourth line this team's seen all year, and we haven't seen it in, 25 games? Because one of the three of those guys is always hurt, and that's a bad thing. But if Ryan Reeves doesn't work, sit him, mm-hmm. because he didn't give up anything for him. And I know people are going to say, well, you retained salary to get him, but you got a draft pick out of it, and you flipped Lindberg in the AHL. Come on. My point is, if it's not working, Gerard Gallant didn't get to this point with this team putting a guy out onto the ice that doesn't fit and doesn't work.
And he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, so you can say goodbye, fare thee well, to Ryan Reeves, whereas a guy like Tomáš Tatar, different situation with 3 years left, but he looked very good last night.
Yeah, and Tatar's going to be a part of this team, absolutely. And you know, again, the thing that I'm saying is, like, you pick up Ryan Carpenter on waivers. If you healthy scratch him, you didn't give up anything for him. If you healthy scratch Ryan Reeves, is anybody really going to be that mad? If it's truly showing that it's not working, and you've got a healthy forward core, and you've got guys that you think are going to better fit on the team on that ice, is it going to cost you anything to sit Ryan Reeves? No. Is it going to make anybody mad? No. If you gave up a really good prospect for him, then it would. But it doesn't matter. If he doesn't work, he's going to sit. Because I don't think Gerard Gallant is going to sacrifice all the work that was put in by the players on this team that George McPhee says he believes in, that George McPhee says he didn't want to break up, and he wanted to give them an opportunity to show what they can do in the playoffs. Gerard Gallant's not going to wreck that because he's got a blind faith devotion to Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, and Tatar is the same type of situation there because they gave up nothing off of the roster they have here now. They gave up draft picks down the road. And as far as Reeves go, it might not even be a situation where it's like, well, do we have to play him? Do we not have to play him? Well, no, you don't have to. And it might be a series-by-series or even game-by-game thing.
Yeah.
If you're playing Anaheim, he might get more playing time than he does if you're playing somebody else. If you play a more finesse team, maybe you don't sit him because there's a better option. If everybody's healthy, and let's be honest about it, folks. Yeah, you want home ice advantage, and right now they're in a good position to get home ice advantage. They still have a 10-point lead, so, you know, things are still looking pretty darn good. But come playoff time, it's about matchups and what you're doing, and you can do it series by series and certainly game by game. The key to going into the playoffs is going in there in as good a position as possible, but mainly, and Kings fans know this because they went in and had to win three consecutive Game 7s on the road when they won a Stanley Cup. The main thing is you want to be healthy and playing your best hockey then.
And like you say, with the health, you know, who was Ryan Reeves in for last night? If he's not up here and he's not playing, let's not forget Thomas Hika had to come up on an emergency because there weren't enough forwards. You're talking about it being Stephane Matteau, or you have to bring up Paul Thompson, or you have to bring up Brandon Peary. Somebody's got to fill that spot yesterday. So who is Ryan Reeves really keeping out of the lineup?
Right now, nobody.
Exactly.
At some point, though, if he does play, it'll be in place of Ryan Carpenter, or it'll be in place of Tomáš Nosek or Oscar Lindberg. They don't have that issue now, so why not figure out what you got in the player? And again, like I said, if it doesn't work out, simply if it doesn't work out, Gerard Gallant's not going to keep putting him in there. He's just not. He didn't get to this point with this team by not trusting his instincts, by not making a change. What did he do to Eric Halla 2 games ago? Didn't like what he saw, put him on the fourth line. One of your 20-goal guys, a guy that you didn't even expect to see this out of in this season, who has been a stalwart on the second line, what do? You move him. You move him. Because Gerard Gallant wants to win hockey games. So he's going to put the best roster on the ice every single night that he thinks gives him the best chance to win hockey games. He's not just going to say, well, Ryan Reeves, you're just going to go in. I don't think you're the best player at that spot. You're going to go in anyway.
Well, and let's remember one other thing that everybody seems to be forgetting here. Ryan Reeves has had 2 goals with the Golden Knights. Tatar's had
2 games.
Two games with the Golden Knights. Tatar has had 1 game and not even a skate before that game with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give these guys a little bit of time to see how they fit in and get used to their teammates and everything before we're throwing them under the bus.
And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about really quick with Ryan Reeves is so much of what went wrong with him the last 2 games is because of what Kyle Clifford and Drew Doughty and Anze Kopitar and those guys on the LA Kings did right. They didn't fight. Just period, end of story. Kyle Clifford lays out Oscar Lindberg. Should have answered the bell in Los Angeles, didn't do it, agitated Reeves even more. And that's what he was brought in here for. He was brought in so that no one gets hurt. First game in there, 2 guys go down with injuries, Lindberg, Neal. You got Ryan Reeves sitting here like, man, I'm not doing my job. They brought me in so this didn't happen. So what's he trying to do when LA comes to his barn? He's trying to set a message. He's trying to set a tone. LA didn't buy into it. And the fact that Kyle Clifford was the first guy to get him on the board really, really stuck that dagger in even more. And he didn't retaliate, and you had Drew Doughty talking the whole game. That gets a guy that's as emotional and as vested as Reeves is in the game that much more irritated. And no one's going to go with him. So what's he supposed to do then? Just start punching a guy in the face? Then you're talking about a game misconduct. You're talking about a five-minute major that you're going to have to kill off. Give him time. Let him ease into it. He wants to make an impact.
Yeah, and they certainly did make an impact. And again, what you saw in the first two games against Los Angeles, that doesn't mean that that's what we're going to see the rest of the season, getting a penalty at the end of the game, whether it's a good penalty or bad penalty. He came in to make a statement to basically mark his turf and say, look, I'm here now. There's a new sheriff in town. Nobody's doing this stuff to my teammates and that. And if you do, you're going to have to answer to me for it. Let's see what he does on Friday against Ottawa. Let's see what he does on this upcoming road trip coming up in the games he has and what time he's in and what time he's not and his other guys get healthy. It's having a physical presence. Sometimes the best way to avoid a fight, and we said this last night, was to let people know that you're willing to fight. Because then you'll see guys like Clifford that go, well, wait a second. Before, when I push people around on this team, they kind of went, nah, no, I don't want to do that. Now this guy I don't really want to fight. I just want to play the role of the bully.
Yeah, and last I checked, Ryan Reeves wears number 75. He doesn't wear number 40 or 47 or 5. And those three guys made probably the worst plays of the night collectively last night in Spezza, Englund, and Carpenter. But no one's throwing them under the bus.
Exactly. So we will look forward to see what Ryan Reeves has in store on Friday. When we come back, we're going to go to San Jose and talk about another polarizing figure in Evander Kane and his welcome to the Sharks right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, having fun with Ryan Reeves. I'm glad he's here. Another player that I like, polarizing, but I like him a lot, is Evander Kane, formerly of the Buffalo Sabres, traded to the San Jose Sharks. Many people up there were wondering how well he would be received. He played his first game last night, but all things considered, San Jose seems to be pretty happy with their new acquisition.
Yeah, it seems like the Shark fans and the team seems happy about it. And a guy who's, he's not contributing on the ice right now because he's out for a little while, but Joe Thornton, a pretty well-known name up in San Jose in that area. Well, he decided, you know what, Evander Kane's coming to town. No sense making him get an Uber or Lyft or get a cab or something like that. Joe Thornton went to the airport and picked him up. You can actually check out a little video. They kind of do the bro hug and... Kane said, Jumbo picked me up. That was real nice of him, especially with the injury that he has. It's good to see a familiar face right off the top. A nice welcome. So, Joe Thornton, well, I can't help out on the ice right now, but hey, you know what? I can still go pick up people from the airport for you.
Let's just hope he wore a shirt when he picked it up.
He did. He had a shirt on.
That's good.
Yes.
So, Ryan, what do you think about this whole Evander Kane to San Jose? Do you like that move for them?
Yeah, I do. I think that Evander Kane fits right into what they're trying to do. He's a big, heavy body that isn't afraid of physicality, which is what we've all determined. And through watching many, many years of playoff hockey, that's what wins in the playoffs. And I think Evander Kane is one of those guys that you might say he doesn't have the greatest hockey IQ, but when you got a guy with a shot like that that goes to the dangerous areas, that's all the IQ he needs. So I would have loved to have seen him with Vegas, if I'm being completely honest. And you know, we were talking about it off the air just now, that if Ryan Reeves and Tomas Tatar were kind of what you were seeking, what you were after if you were George McPhee, you have to wonder if maybe Evander Kane might have been a better fit just because of the fact that he could do both in one package.
And so, it's not like San Jose gave up a ton for him.
No, not really. No.
And part of that has to do with the fact that his contract is expiring
exactly.
At the end of the season. And Evander Kane is certainly going to be in play in free agency for a number of organizations. You worry a little bit, though, that maybe he likes it in San Jose. They get him for that recruiting time for the last 20 games or so. Certainly gives them the edge if things go well.
Well, you're talking about a guy that hasn't played very many meaningful games, and it looks like he'll probably get the chance to do so. And I think he's going to fit right in with that team.
Yeah, and although there's probably about four or five teams chomping right at the heels of them for the playoffs, something tells me that they're not looking in their rearview mirror. They're looking 10 points ahead at the Vegas Golden Knights for first in the Pacific.
Experience is going to do it.
And they're certainly one of those teams that maybe is looking a little harder at this year than they are at next, knowing they're coming to an end with some of these older players.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a good thing that they didn't trade for Nazem Kadri, because that would have been a very awkward ride back.
Yeah, it probably would have been. Maybe he would have brought a razor.
Or he would have brought his beard with him.
He would have brought a beard to pay for him.
Yeah,
have the old tumbleweed back.
Beer extensions.
You can paste
beer
it
extensions.
On. Well, just one more game this week. That is Friday. Pre-game show at 6:30 and the game at 7 o'clock at T-Mobile Arena. Stick around right here on Fox Sports Radio for T.C. Martin. The Doctor is next.